good morning, ladies. If we haven't met yet, my name is Joanna, and I'm so blessed and thankful to be sharing with you all this morning on the fruit of surrender. The fruit of surrender. I know many of us have our to-do lists and our family and all that we're thinking about what we need to do today running through our mind as we get ready to pack up and head home, don't we? We got groceries, right? Gas, probably, gas is important. All the things running through your mind. I remember last year, Luann had shared at retreat, although we're packing up to go home today, don't miss this opportunity to be present for what the Lord is wanting to speak to you right now in this time through his word and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for these ladies. I thank you for their perseverance, Lord. We don't get much sleep at retreat. That's one thing we didn't announce. I just thank you for bringing them this far, Lord. And I thank you for the joy we've had together, Lord. And also, Lord, the brokenness where we can share with one another, pray with one another, and be humbled by you. And so we do pray that right now, Lord, that you would humble our hearts, that we would submit this time to you and what you want to speak to us this morning, Lord. We just thank you for the sunshine. We thank you for this retreat and all that you've done, Lord. Help us not to forget the things you've laid on our hearts, Lord. And help us to do the very things that you've called us to do, Lord. Help us to go away from this place of semi-rest and go, Lord, and put into action what you've called us to do. Lord, I thank you for this time. Please speak, Lord, through your spirit in this time to each woman here. I know that this is for each one that you've brought here today. And so I do ask that you'd minister through your power to them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So walk with me on this path of surrender that we've been on this weekend together, okay? So Donna had shared Friday night, surrendering identity. And I'm just going to share with you a few points that stood out to me, 3 points from each one. Donna did surrendering identity, and Jesus wants all of us, not just part of us. Where is pride keeping me from fully surrendering to Jesus? That was a point I got. Lastly, one of the many points for me was once your surrender to Jesus, he is your identity. Once you're surrendered to him, he is your identity. Annie, she shared the surrendered positions of posture. I'm glad I didn't teach on that one. I probably wouldn't be able to say all of those. Choose to look to Jesus rather than the hard. He is our strength. He is our strength. She shared a lot of hard and that the Lord is our strength and our weaknesses. Okay? Surrender is a victory, not a lost battle. Wasn't that good? Surrender is a victory. It's not a lost battle. And what giants do you need to surrender to the Lord in your life? What is so big that you need, and or so little, that you have been holding on to and you need to give it to the Lord? Luann, on the humility, the secret sauce of surrender. Such a sweet one. Surrender is peace. Surrender is peace. God is always right, isn't he? God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now we arrive at the last leg of this journey through this retreat of learning surrender. And we reach the fruit of surrender. I'll be sharing with you from the life of Esther this morning and throughout scripture how we see as a whole the Lord working in our lives to bring about good fruit for our good and his glory. He restores. He redeems. He is sovereign. And he has a plan for our lives. If we run to him and submit to him, he gives us the desire to follow his ways. From that willingness to follow the Lord, he can bring about good fruit. if we surrender our plans for his purpose. Psalm 51, 10 through 12 may be familiar to you. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take the Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. And then I have another verse here. James 1, 2 through 5. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. It is by running to God and turning from our sin, by abiding with him and refusing to drift, by depending fully upon him, that we can have a willing heart and a desire to do everything that God has called us to do in this life. By his Spirit, we can be sustained through hard things. We can be given direction when we are lost, and we have victory because we know it is our God who wins in the end. And that is exactly what we see in the life of Esther. Esther, if you could please turn there in your Bibles. It's right after Nehemiah and right before Job. If you've never read Esther or need a little refresher about Esther, Esther is 10 chapters long, and it's not known who wrote the book of Esther. Some say it could have been Ezra or Nehemiah, but we know all scripture is God-breathed and useful in teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So we read of Esther, who was a Jew living in Persia because of being exiled, and was chosen by the king of Persia because of her beauty, and all the more because of God's providence that she was chosen to be the queen of Persia. About 4 years after Esther was crowned queen, a royal official, Haman, convinced the king to decree the destruction of life for all of the Jews in Persia because he despised Esther's uncle Mordecai, who refused to worship Haman. And that's where we pick up here, and we're going to be in chapter 4 of Esther. Read with me in verses 1 through 9. Esther's female servants... I skipped to verse 4. Verse 1. When Mordecai learned all that had occurred, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes, went into the middle of the city, and cried aloud bitterly. He went only as far as the king's gate, since the law prohibited anyone wearing sackcloth from entering the king's gate. There was great mourning among the Jewish people in every province where the king's command and edict reached. They fasted, wept, and lamented, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Esther's female servants and her eunuchs came and reported the news to her, and the queen was overcome with fear. She sent clothes for Mordecai to wear so that he would take off his sackcloth, but he did not accept them. Esther summoned Hatak, one of the king's eunuchs who attended her, and dispatched him to Mordecai to learn what he was doing and why. So Hatak went out to Mordecai in the city square in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him everything that had happened, as well as the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay the royal treasury for the slaughter of the Jews. Mordecai also gave him a copy of the written decree issued in Susa ordering their destruction, so that Hatak might show it to Esther, explain it to her, and command her to approach the king, implore his favor, and plead with him personally for her people. Hatak came and repeated Mordecai's response to Esther. Mordecai, he is learning that the king had written a royal decree and a law to completely annihilate all of the Jews in the land. He is overcome with grief. By tearing his clothes, putting on sackcloth and ashes, he shows that he's lamenting. And he's crying out in the city as there was a great mourning by the Jewish people in all of this region. They're reaching out to God and pleading to him. Esther, who was in the king's court, didn't know about the decree. But she learned the news from her servants, and she was overcome with what? With fear. She doesn't have all the details just yet, but she tries to get more info from her adopted father by sending her servants back to Mordecai. Mordecai gives him all the details down to the exact amount of money Haman pledged for the killing of all the Jews, which was, we read in Esther, I did a little research, Esther 3:9 says it was 375 tons of silver for the royal treasury. And so Mordecai shares this as well as a copy of the written decree. Just as the Jews lay themselves down at the mercy of God and cry out to their God for protection because of the decree of death on their lives, we too can call out to our Heavenly Father for help whenever we are in distress. We who have received Christ have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and been given a helper. In John 14:16, we read of Jesus telling his disciples that he's given the Holy Spirit as an advocate and a help to be with us forever. After receiving the Spirit, though, we can still choose to live a life according to our flesh and have our minds set on the desires of our flesh, which brings separation from God. But if we choose to live by the Spirit, we have a mind that is governed by the Spirit, which is peace and life in Christ. A fruit of surrender is peace and life in Christ. In Romans 8, we read about life in the Spirit that we have because of Christ. And the choice we have to live out this life in our flesh or through the Spirit. We can turn there, if you'd like, in verse 5 of Romans 8. I think it will be up. We read, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. We will face hardships in this life, won't we? And when those hardships come, it tests where we are putting our faith. Will we feed our flesh or choose to live according to the Spirit? When we choose to look to Christ and His Spirit during trials, we receive help from Him to do all that He's called us to do. As we surrender, carrying it all ourselves, we receive the fruit of help. We receive help from God. You know, my husband has really been going through a really hard time with his work. And he's been enduring for a few jobs at this job with this difficult coworker and a difficult boss, which is all familiar, I'm sure, with many of you. And we've cried out to the Lord for so long, it seems, asking Him to remove a terrible boss and a rude coworker. But God has a purpose for these men to be in my husband's life. The coworker who would just fight every request Tim had of him with a slew of profanity and a refusal to do it, he eventually left because he could no longer deal with the boss. But before that, Tim had ministered. Before this coworker left, Tim had ministered to him when his mom had died, and then a few months later, his brother. The Lord is using us. We need to trust him. The boss is still around, and his boss has been one headache after another. And I was praying for him this week when he told me that he had had enough. I said, you do what God wants you to do. I want you to have the peace of God, which is not how I usually respond. I got to point that out. So I told him, you do what God wants you to do. I want you to have the peace of God, because I was studying this, right? Well, he didn't quit again. And God has seen fit to keep that boss there. And he hasn't opened a door yet for Tim to go somewhere else. We're praying and seeking the Lord. But I tell you, there was a moment where I told Tim, that's my husband's name, I said, Tim, I need you, you should quit. You should just walk out. I've had enough. I told him to walk out of that dumpster fire before, because I wanted to fix it. I just want it to be fixed. I can get a job. We have savings. It will be fine. This is ridiculous. Because I wanted to fix it in my strength. But my man, he's waiting on the Lord. He's looking to Christ. It's Christ that supports us. So when one of us falls on our face in our flesh saying, I can't anymore, the other one is there to pick us up, dust us off, and say, keep walking, keep trusting. That's why we need each other as sisters in Christ. We need each other so that when, not if, but when, one of us falls, we can be lifted through prayer, scripture, and encouragement to keep going. A fruit of surrender, our self-sufficiency, it's our sisters. A fruit of surrender is our sisters to walk with us. The fellowship we have with one another. God has given us brothers and sisters in Christ. And you will see that in this passage between Mordecai and Esther, Mordecai will tell Esther to risk her life and go to the king for the sake of the Jews' lives. And Esther will counter with doubt. She says, but I might die. But Mordecai will tell her to trust in God and where he has placed her. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, we read this. In all this, you greatly rejoice. In all this, you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Have you suffered grief in all kinds of trials? The word tells us it will prove the genuineness of our faith, which is worth more than gold. Our loving Lord Jesus Christ, who endured it all for us, he will be praised and brought glory and honor by those who walk in obedience to him. A fruit of surrendering doubt is faith. Faith that grows like a mustard seed. Let's read verses 10 through 17. Esther spoke to Hatak and commanded him to tell Mordecai, all the royal officials and the people of the royal provinces know that one law applies to every man or woman who approaches the king in the inner courtyard and who has not been summoned, the death penalty. Unless the king extends the gold scepter, allowing that person to live. I have not been summoned to appear before the king for the last 30 days. Esther's response was reported to Mordecai. Verse 13, Mordecai told the messenger to reply to Esther, don't think that you will escape the fate of all the Jews because you are in the king's palace. If you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will come to the Jewish people from another place. but you and your father's family will be destroyed. Who knows, perhaps you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Verse 15, Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go and assemble all the Jews who can be found in Susa and fast for me. Don't eat or drink for 3 days, nights or day. For 3 days, night or day. I and my female servants will also fast in the same way. After that, I will go to the king, even if it is against the law. If I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went and did everything Esther had commanded him. Esther sends her servant Hatak out to Mordecai. Mordecai gives him all the details to the exact amount. Mordecai commands Esther to go to the king and plead for their lives. Esther tells the servant to go back to her uncle and tell him she could die if she does what he's asked of her to do. To which he responds that she won't escape this slaughter because she's in the king's palace. Verse 14, we read, if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will come to the Jewish people from another place. But you and your father's family will be destroyed. Who knows, perhaps you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Mordecai is confident that the Lord will deliver the Jews, whether it's through Esther or someone else. The Lord had sustained the Israelites through the Exodus, given them the Mosaic Covenant. We read that the Lord had vowed through the prophet Ezekiel to restore Israel. And in Ezra, we read of the return of the exiles to go to Jerusalem. Mordecai knows the love of God for his people, and he does not waver in knowing God has put Esther in this position for his purpose. When we are walking with the Lord, we are going to face trials. But if we have a posture of prayer and persevere through the power of his Spirit, we can be made mature. And we have a promise that if we turn to him and ask God for wisdom, he will give it to us. We have his word and his Spirit to supply and sustain us and give us direction. Esther, she asked Mordecai and all the Jews to go before the Lord. She seeks the Lord and she asks all her Jewish community to do the same. Fasting was often assimilated with prayer. This was a genuine time to focus solely on the Lord, and they all go before God to align their hearts with his heart and seeking him wholeheartedly themselves. She's willing to die for what God has placed in front of her to do. She surrendered herself to the Lord's leading in her life by walking in faith and being willing to lay down her own life for her family and the Lord's calling. By abiding with him, we can be sustained by him. The fruit of surrender is abiding with Christ and being sustained by him. John 15, 1 through 8. This will be familiar. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them up, throw them into the fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Jesus is talking to his disciples and he tells them this beautiful picture of a gardener and a vine that has potential. and maybe this is something you gardeners can easily relate to or grasp hold of. When you prune your tomatoes, there's an abundance of tomatoes. There's an abundance of fruit. But not every branch will produce tomatoes. Not every branch will show flowers. But if you remove those ones who don't have flowers on them, and then you have to prune in some of those really long branches because you want an abundant harvest, and the plant will waste its energy keeping those extra big branches, you prune those back, and you get an abundant harvest. But the only way to get fruit is by being connected to the vine, being connected to Christ. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. And that is why we have to be constantly seeking him through prayer and his word, constantly spending time with him, and constantly submitting to his purpose and surrendering our will for his. When you're pruning your tomato plant, do you ever accidentally cut off a branch that had tomatoes or flowers on it? Can it grow tomatoes still? No. So we must be connected to Christ. And the Lord himself will be glorified by our obedience. And God himself will produce and prove that we are his. We can't fake it either. Can we fake it? Have you ever seen fake fruit? Okay. That used to be a thing. I would go to my grandma's house, and she had a lot of fake fruit. And there were these large plastic clusters of purple grapes. And they were obviously fake, right? Collecting dust. If we're fake, people will see it. They'll see it. You can try on your own to look like Christ, but it will be fake. And no one is fooled but you. So turn to Christ. Let him shape and mold you. Trust him to prune you and produce fruit in your life, and rest in him. Abide in him. Give him your life, and you will bear real fruit, not because of anything you earned or attained, but all because of following and surrendering to Christ. Let's see, in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 of Esther. On the third day, Esther dressed in her royal clothing and stood in the inner courtyard of the palace facing it. The king was sitting on his royal throne in the royal courtroom facing its entrance. As soon as the king saw Queen Esther standing in the courtyard, she gained favor with him. The king extended the gold scepter in his hand toward Esther, and she approached and touched the tip of the scepter. So after fasting with her Jewish community and first going before the Lord herself, she courageously dresses up in her royal clothing and enters in faith in that inner court. This is a big deal because Queen Vashti had defied her husband and refused to appear before him years before this. And you can read the rest of that in the beginning of the book of Esther. After Queen Vashti refuses to come to the king's calling, there was a royal decree that went out for Queen Vashti. She was never again to enter the king's presence, and that every man should be ruler of his household. So for Esther to go out without being summoned by the king was a huge step of faith in her Lord, in God, and reveals Esther's willing heart to go do what God had placed her to do. The king responds by extending his scepter, and by his action, she is saved from execution. Proverbs 21:1 says, "A king's heart is like channeled water in the Lord's hand. He directs it wherever he chooses." No matter who's in charge, it's the Lord whose hand remains ultimately in control. A fruit of surrender is trusting God with our lives. Is there a part of your life that you once thought was dead and he's brought back to life? When we surrender what the Lord wants in our lives, he can restore and redeem. God can bring back the things in our lives that we once thought were dead. Broken relationships, lost family, parts of our lives that we refuse to God, our time, our finances, our hearts, our health, they all belong to the Lord. Things we didn't want to give up, if we're willing to give those things to God that we've so firmly held on to, he can take them and show us what he wants to do with it. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your path straight. In the King James Version, in verse 6, it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And then I looked in the NIV, and it says, to submit to him. So if in all our ways we acknowledge him, we know him, we submit to him, he will show us the way. When I was 11 or 12, I started to play the violin. The Spokane Symphony came to our school at Westside Elementary, and they played for us, and I just loved it. My maiden name was Stringer, and I thought it would be so cool to play a stringed instrument. Time went on, and the Lord used music as a way of escape and expression through some really hard family times in my life. I was alone and isolated, neglected, but through music, I had something to do and people to be around, and I could pour my energy and focus into it. After graduating high school, though, I set the violin down and didn't have a desire to play it anymore. I had survived a destructive family, and the Lord used music for that season, and I didn't want any more of it. I met my music-loving husband, though, and he plays guitar and was playing in children's ministry, and they're always in need of worship leaders in the children's ministry, if you're ever wondering. So he would play for the Friday night children's ministry at our church, and since I was his wife, I would sing. And I'm not a good singer by any means, but desperate times call for desperate measures. And years later, my husband would insist that I played the violin for the kids. And I'm quite stubborn, and I had so many excuses. I don't have a music stand. He bought me a music stand. I don't have time to practice. Are you going to practice? I don't want to play. Let's play together. I left it untouched for a long time. I closed that door and had no desire to open it again. It was dead to me, like a dead piece of wood that violin sat, and it had no life in it to play it again. I was done. But the Lord had other plans. My husband begged me to play for the children. And there's something about playing for children. Their eyes light up when you play an open string, just an open string. They don't expect Vivaldi. They enjoy the simplest of hymns. So I would play here and there downstairs with the kids, which led to Yulia, Sasha's mom, putting together a little group of ladies to play together. And the Lord has just arranged places to play. Isn't that amazing? So what part of your life is dead and needs to be brought back to the Lord, back to life by him? What would the Lord like to restore in you? As we talk about surrender and what that means, we see that we cannot be living on our own selfish way and be in a fruitful relationship with the Lord at the same time. We have to choose to live a life lived for ourselves or a life surrendered to the Lord, because we can't have both. It takes daily dying to ourselves and going to God. Because of his work on the cross, because Christ gave up being in heaven to come down and save us. Listen to this from Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Adopt the same attitude as that of Jesus Christ, who existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to the death on a cross. So Paul tells us that we need to adopt that same attitude of Jesus by giving up ourselves to be emptied as a servant to the Lord, to serve God in humility and obedience, like Christ who died on the cross for us. He took all the shame, all the guilt upon himself for us. And if we identify with him, we have him as our identity. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We have the choice, though, whom we will serve with our lives, and that will bring about fruit, either good fruit or bad fruit. Going all the way back to the Garden of Eden, Eve chose the fruit of disobedience. She chose to disobey and brought sin and destruction upon all mankind. Lot's wife in Genesis 19, who disobeyed the command to not look back at Sodom being destroyed by God, she became a pillar of salt. Or Job's wife, who said to Job, "Why don't you just curse God and die already?" We have so many examples in the Bible of how women chose to disobey. We too chose to disobey, don't we? Aren't we grateful that only the Lord knows how many times we've disobeyed him? But we can turn from the destruction of our disobedience, die to ourselves, and decide to follow Jesus instead. If we do that, if we trust him, if we love the Lord, our God, with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, he will bring about good fruit as we surrender to his will for our lives. Obedience is a fruit of surrendering to the Lord. Our key passage, Luke 9, 23 through 24. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." So, sisters, it takes surrendering to Jesus. It takes abiding with him, turning from what we want, and dying to ourselves. It takes humility, daily identifying with him, spending time in his word with him, and an active prayer life. Daily choosing to surrender Jesus, as he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Do you want to have a fruitful life with Christ? Do you want to be mature, to have peace, help from God, faith that grows? Do you want to be sustained by Christ? He will bring to fruition all of these things we've listed and more, much fruit. We have a choice to surrender each opportunity to him to have a fruitful life of abiding with him. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for these ladies. I thank you for this sweet time in your word and all the things that you've brought, Lord. We just pray that you continue to minister, Lord, through this time in your word. Lord, I pray for these ladies, Lord, that we would all just have a continued hunger to spend time with you, to be in prayer with you, to submit to you, Lord, that we would desire you above all else in our lives, Lord, that it would be you alone. Lord, we thank you for the peace and the help we have when we let go. You do what you want to do in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you would just be glorified in this time of worship. Help us, Lord, to just be present. And we just thank you for this whole weekend. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.